welcome to another episode of The Zest is History, starring your hosts, Melissa Mason and Josie Rosenberg-Clark.
Hello.
Don't you need to press?
Oh, yes, I do.
Press something.
Because we're recording this. Spin Us a Yarn. This is Spin Us a Yarn. And we're recording it for our Patreon subscribers. Filming it.
Yeah.
We're recording it in general for everyone and we're filming
it. Yeah, that's what people are listening to
for
the recording.
Yeah.
So but the filming is just for our Patreon supporters.
So they can see us awkwardly sort of trying to look at the camera but look at each other but look at the camera.
Yeah.
And they can also see our very special guest today.
Superstar guest.
It's a superstar. He's a superstar guest, guys. Hi. It is my dad, Bill Mason.
Hi.
And we only have two mics. So I look like interview him like you look like Juliana Rancic, like on E! News.
No, you don't. Oh, okay.
Like on E! News, like interviewing, like on the red carpet. So who are you dressed by today?
I'm dressed by old 20-year-old corduroy trousers, Jerry Seinfeld sneakers.
I love it.
And an old polo top.
Beautiful. Stunning.
You're really setting
stunning.
The scene.
Classy.
Setting mm-hmm. the scene for people that can't see us. And if mm-hmm. you do want to see us, you go to patreon.com/thezestishistory and you can become a supporter and then you get bonus video content such as this, which you can't see.
You can't see, but I was just waving.
Yeah, we're waving.
Now I'm doing a you signal because I'm saying you. Unironically now, like it's a thing that
yeah,
I just say.
Yeah, right.
You and McGregor. Anyway, we're going to get into it because we don't blather on in these.
No,
do we?
These are quick. Short, sharp,
so,
mini episodes.
Bill is here because he lived next door to a rock star when I was a baby.
Correct.
And I don't know who it is. This is a big reveal for me.
It is. It's a shocking reveal. so we're going to hand it over to Bill, sort of, and then mainly I'm going to hand my mic over because there's only two mics. But tell us who you live next door to.
Mm-hmm. It was Richard Clapton.
No. Oh my god.
We were neighbors, next door neighbors in units, side by side for 7 years.
That is close.
And that was after Helen and I first got married. And that 7 years covered when Melissa was a baby and just when Kate was a baby, I think.
Can you really quickly tell everyone about the time you had that house party and the floor caved in?
Is that this house or a different place?
Okay. So before I got married, I lived with my parents. And then when I was 18, I got out of home. And I lived in a whole pile of a whole bunch of different places that were dubious. And the first one was down near Tamarama, Fletcher Street, Tamarama. And I moved in there with a couple of mates. And at one of our parties near the end of the lease, we used to play a lot of rock music, like 70s rock music.
Yes.
We were right into that. you know, Angels, early Angels, Rose Tattoo, earlier Rose Tattoo, all that sort of stuff. And jumping up and down and jumping around was a big thing, as well as stamping the floor. At the last one that we had, we actually broke the floor, and there was a little sort of flatette downstairs.
Oh no!
And a couple of people that were at the party put their feet through the floorboards into the flat. Another guy that was in not good state of mind, let's say, went through the fibro back wall because he thought he was Superman.
Oh!
And so we had no back wall. We had a lounge floor that had holes in it. And after we moved out, we didn't get our bond back, and
I'm
they actually
shocked.
Condemned the house.
Shocking that you didn't get your bond back after putting your feet through the floor. How rude!
And running through the wall.
Yeah. Well, that was. That was typical of my misspent youth. We went on to two other places and did similar things.
Oh, God.
Oh, wild.
The worst tenants in the world.
But you had your stuff together by the time you lived next door to Richard Clapton.
I had my stuff together then. No, I was just expressing myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then by the time that Melissa came along, then we were, I'd gone through all of that, married Helen in 1979. and we moved into a unit up in Old South Head Road, Vaucluse, just near the lighthouse up there, which was by far the worst unit in the best street. And we got it for a bargain price, which is all we could afford at the time. And then we spent years doing it up bit by bit over a long period of time. And Melissa came along. We moved in there in 1979 and Melissa came along in 1986.
Okay, great. Give away my age. That's great. But anyway, okay, so I'm there and now you're living there. And then how did you work out that you were living next door to Richard Clapton? And if anyone doesn't know who that is...
He's a legend.
He's a legend. Yeah. He's what, he's Girls on the Avenue.
He's an icon of Australian rock music. Mm-hmm. And not to be confused with Eric Clapton, which some...
which I would do.
Yeah, which many people would do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not related.
So, yeah, so he's same age as me now. So he's 68, almost 69, and still going strong. And he's doing a lot of his stuff independently now and has been for quite a long time.
But how did you work out that he lived next door?
How did I work out? Well, we worked that out through my mother-in-law. People came and went in that unit that he lived in. And so we didn't pay too much attention really to who was there and who wasn't there. I was working flat out. Helen was working as a school teacher. So it wasn't that big a deal. We came home one night and Helen's mother said that there was a lot of nice music coming from next door. And then I started hearing some nice music coming from, good music coming from next door, music I hadn't heard before. And then one day, I think from memory, shady memory, but from memory, I was just walking up the stairs coming home from the shops or something like that. And there's Richard Clapton standing in front of me. And I'm thinking, what are you doing here?
Vaucluse, the bougie Vaucluse area.
And he then introduced himself. And he didn't have to introduce it.
Did you do the thing of like, oh, nice to meet you? Did you pretend?
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing.
Very nice to meet you. Isn't the weather beautiful today? No,
sweating.
I was just a gaga, you know, fanboy. I mean, we grew up on rock music in the 70s and Richard Clapton was all part of that. That was when he was starting in the 70s and he's gone right through to now. And we knew his music and loved his music. From the word go. And so having him then standing in front of me completely unexpected was, you know, you just fanboy. You just go, oh, what are you saying?
And then did you have him over to the house?
Yep. So we ended up being good friends. I mean, as next door neighbours. Yeah. We were...
My arm's getting tired.
we were quite friendly. So he was composing music and we were listening to it and he was playing some of it for us.
Wow, sneak peeks.
And he was, I think at that time, during that period of time, he was working with INXS.
Yes.
And he produced one of INXS's album, one of their first albums before they really broke.
Yeah.
So he was working on that. So we heard that before it was released.
Oh, that's cool.
He was just not fanboying, but he was just a great neighbor. Yeah, a really cool guy.
And what about, can you tell Josie about the thing of the person in the street?
I got heaps of stories, but I know we've got to keep this fairly short. One of the aspects of living next door to him was hearing really good music a lot, and also seeing or hearing people come over because he was so well connected. Everybody was. He says in his memoirs where he kindly mentioned me and Helen.
Oh my God, amazing!
And that period, he mentioned that two instances that one instance that I can remember, and that is that Ian Moss from Cold Chisel.
Oh my God!
he knows Mossy and knew Mossy really well, and they would Mossy would come over and they would try to do some songwriting together.
Yeah,
and he says in his book that those ended up in drinking binges, and so songwriting was part of it, but drinking binges was another part of it.
Yeah,
At 5 a.m. in the morning, it wasn't uncommon to have Mossy's guitar wailing away at 5 in the morning. I've got to get up for work because I'm in the finance industry and Helen's got to go and teach kids and so on. And so we had that. And we also had There was a lot of, quite often there was a lot of yelling going on at early hours in the morning, out the front of the place next or whatever. Good natured yelling, not anything negative or anything like that, but it woke us up. And one of the times it was Michael Hutchence standing on the wall outside yelling out and some whatever he was, I don't know what he was yelling out. But the INXS guys used to come around.
Oh, my God, amazing.
Like, why are all these people in Vaucluse? This is what I need to know. Like, Vaucluse, for anyone that's
Sydney,
not.
Yeah. It's quite nice. Was it nice back then?
Oh, yeah. Right. It was a lovely place. Yeah.
So it's not, it wasn't a dive.
It wasn't like Newtown. It wasn't like this random dive. Nice.
But we also had, living below Richard Clapton, we had a guy called Grant, who was the manager of Crowded House at the time.
Why are they all in this one house? This doesn't make any sense.
It was just coincidence.
Rock building.
And, yep. And so he also married, I think he was in a relationship with and married, I think he married her, Sharon O'Neill. Now, you guys may not know who Sharon
O'Neill. I have no idea who that is.
Have a look on YouTube for Sharon O'Neill and a song called Maxine. It's really good.
Okay.
I'm probably not going to do it, but I might do it. I might do it.
It's worth it.
Someone listening will do it.
It's worth it, yeah.
Someone will do it. So they'll put it in the group.
We had Crowded House Manor. We knew him reasonably well as well. So we were down to his place and up.
What a building.
Can you tell Josie what you used to drink?
What I used to drink? Blackberry nip and lemonade.
What's that?
What is that? That's not the thing you told me.
No, that's one of the things I used to drink. At dinner parties, you mean? Yeah. Well, we had Richard and his girlfriend over for a dinner party once and had him over socially a couple of times. And, so commonly we would drink Grand Marnier. As our after dinner drink of choice.
Ooh. I'm sorry, I heard Mum told me that it was Tia Maria and milk, which is just the most 70s thing I've ever heard in my entire life. No, who is drinking Tia Maria and milk? If you drink Tia Maria and milk, please come into the group and tell us why you are a psychopath. That would be
Someone
what I would
used
like.
To bring that to school in a...
School?
Like a, yeah, in an oak milk...
What,
container?
Like to be like drinking at school?
And they'd be like, I've got my magic milk today.
Oh, good lord.
A girl
Lord.
I went to school with named Christy. She had quite a big head. That's all I remember of her.
Like the whole thing of like drinking in your like younger years and the stuff you drank Christy? Just because it was like cool.
My very first ever drink was Jim Beam and Sprite.
Ew. That's not even a comp. Yeah. Mine was mojitos. I just ordered mojitos all the time because I didn't know any other drink
so fancy.
To order. But also I was talking to someone the other day about King's Cup. Most disgusting game ever, which Dad doesn't know what this is, but I'll explain it to everyone. It's like you pour bits of everyone's alcohol into one bucket and then you play a card game, and it's like if you lose in some way, you have to drink the bucket, and it's got like breezes and like like Jim Beam in it and beer and wine and, you know, whatever.
Very
anyway.
Bad.
I had another question for you. Oh, what was the other thing that you guys told me that I was like, oh, the cat.
The what?
The cat that you had to mind.
The cat that we had to mind.
You told me about this. You had to...
Oh, yeah. That's going back to living next door to Richard Clapton. Yeah. So, his partner at the time, I think, had a cat, so it became their cat. And we were asked to mind it once, and he gave us some food for the cat, some treats, maybe food, whatever. Caviar.
You imagine feeding Leroy and Zoe caviar? Like
my mum hand feeds her cat Richard, his name is, not after Richard Clapton, although my mum is a fan. She hand feeds him prawns.
What?
Yeah, he's 17, so she kind of gives him the finer things.
I mean, look, if you can afford it, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you give them caviar?
Yeah.
That's wild.
When was Millie's birthday? We gave her like extremely expensive, like, I don't know, fillet steak, something bizarrely... Like, she doesn't care.
Treat.
She would literally eat intestines and be happy. She would eat a dead rat and it would be, like, the most exciting thing
there
in the world.
There you are giving her, like, Wagyu.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you have any other things to add about, like, wild stories? Gosh. Why don't you read the bit in the book where he mentions you?
Yeah, I will. Yeah. The other thing that I would want to mention, I think, is that we lived virtually at the Bondi Lifesaver, and I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with the Bondi Lifesaver, but it was just the most incredible place to go. for nightlife. And we just about lived there. And we used to drink Blue Rhapsody.
What is that?
What is that?
Rhapsody is blue-coloured champagne. And we used to drink it by the bottle.
Is it just champagne with blue food colouring in it?
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Tell us people that you saw for like $1.
At Selena's.
Yeah, the Angels with Doc Neeson for $1.
It's always $1.
Rose Tattoo for $2.
Oh.
when they first came to Sydney. Split Ends for free before anybody knew who they were. Cold Chisel for $2.
Josie and I are really sad that we missed that Cold Chisel, whatever it was. Why did we miss that? You just like were about to have a baby.
Yeah, I think
and I wasn't here.
It was the live at the Vineyards, like the Winter Valley. Mm-hmm. That would have been so good.
Yep. Never saw Midnight Oil in the early days, which is surprising. Jimmy and the Boys. Oh, you should look them up.
Okay. We've got to Google Jimmy and the Boys and Sharon O'Neill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jimmy and the Boys and Sharon O'Neill. Yep. Johnny Dole and the Scabs. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The Hitmen. The Lipstick Killers. Some of these bands.
Yeah, like some of these. Yeah, what? Who are these? Just,
not much.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But some of them were Cold Chisel.
They were bands that are right in front of my mind because they were so good. Yeah. So a lot. I saw Angus Young from AC/DC get up with Rose Tattoo to jam. And play guitar up on
the
bar.
He's the spinny one that you like.
Yeah, the spinny guy. I was trying to explain who in AC/DC was the star. We're talking about Michael because we did In Excess last week. Oh, right. And we're talking about Michael Hutchence and how you can't really replace him, but then you could replace like, what's his name? Bon Scott, because it's not really, he wasn't the main attraction. It was Angus Young.
Spinny guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but a lot of people would say that Bon Scott was irreplaceable.
But I wouldn't say that.
Would you like me to read what he wrote?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, find the book. I can't believe you're in print. I love that you hid it behind Mel so I didn't see.
Yeah, so... we were surprised, and it's very nice of him to do that. Cold Chisel guitarist Ian Moss started coming around to my flat in Vaucluse and attempted to write with me, but these sessions usually ended up as drinking binges with Mossy blazing away on guitar at 5 a.m. One day I went down to the communal washing line to apologise to my hard-working neighbours Helen and Bill. Helen was a school teacher, Bill an accountant clawing his way up the corporate ladder. I knew they woke up at around about 6 every morning. I was apologising profusely when Bill stopped me. "Wasn't that Ian Moss?" he gushed. "Yes," I replied and started my apology all over again. Bill said, "I'm honoured to be woken up by Mossy." I found out that Bill had courted his wife at the Bondi Lifesaver, which is true. Yep, that's when Helen and I first connected. And he hated having his soul sucked dry by the corporate world. He said that my nut house was like an oasis of dreams. I lived in that flat in Vaucluse for about 7 years, and Bill and Helen were treated to an endless parade of my friends.
So great.
That is awesome.
They were great days.
Cool. All right. Well, cool. Cool, Dad. Thanks for joining.
Cool story. No, it is. That's actually a really good story.
Mm-hmm.
Better than my parents wouldn't have any cool stories like that because no one cool is from Newcastle.
Well, who knew cool people were from Vaucluse?
Who knew?
Literally none of us.
Who knew?
On that note, see ya.
See ya.
See ya.